Many Americans will be waiting for a while to get a coronavirus vaccine, including some frontline workers, people like grocery store clerks or bus drivers. Many are Black or Latino and have been hit disproportionately hard during the pandemic. And now some are pointing out that they should be getting the shots now. Sam Dancy works at a Westwood Village QFC in Seattle. It's a grocery store owned by Kroger. Sam, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Good to have you. And you're a front-end supervisor who manages workers checking people out at the grocery store. So let me ask you, do you feel safe when you go to work?
Honestly, I'm going to say not 100%, maybe 50%.
Why?
Well, because first of all, number one, we have a mandate that says that no one should enter the store without masks. Unfortunately, we have some people that disregard that mandate. And it just seems like there's always too many people in the store that just doesn't pay attention to the six-foot rule. Another reason why I think a lot of us probably don't feel safe, because the plexiglass doesn't extend as long as it needs to protect a lot of the associates that are actually checking. And we have not got the vaccination. I think maybe those of us that want to get the vaccination, if we had it, we might feel a little bit safer. I had associated this with going to war, because COVID-19 is like fighting a war. And until they give us all the proper weapons that we need to be able to fight this battle, none of us are going to feel as safe as we have been.
So let me ask you, Sam, you haven't gotten a vaccine yet, but do you have any idea when you will?
No, I don't know as of yet. I'm hoping really
no
soon.
Idea.
They had an itinerary that said maybe February the 3rd, I was in the classification that might be able to. But unfortunately, they haven't been able to keep up with the demand. So we're still waiting.
All right. So make the case. Why should workers like you working in a grocery store, why should they be given priority for a vaccine?
Well, we're on the front line. You know, at one time we were considered heroes. I guess we're now zeros. Also, too, you know, that would make a lot of us give us a better peace of mind. All of us, since we have to go to work under these conditions, they should make these available to all the grocery store workers. If Safeway is getting all these vaccinations next week, Safeway is also part of our Local 21 union. They need to make sure that all the associates that work at Safeway and maybe QFC, the pharmacies, make sure that the associates get their shot so that we're taken care of.
Well, you say we were heroes, but now we're zeros. I think that's, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And I understand you're actually talking to us right now on your lunch break. You're taking time to do that as you're working. So thank you very much.
I had to go into the bathroom, unfortunately, because the break room, I can't sit here and expect the associates to be quiet. Because that's their break room as well. So hopefully we'll be able to entertain this interview without any more disruptions
in
the background.
Well, that's going above and beyond, Sam. Thank you. So I just want to finally ask you, it must be, or you tell me, is it emotionally exhausting to deal with that uncertainty? Because we've been in this pandemic now for almost a year, and you're going to work every single day, unvaccinated now, not knowing whether or not today is the day that you're going to get COVID.
Exactly. And, you know, not only is that detrimentally physically, but it's also detrimentally mentally. I've been working here since 91, and I started working when the pandemic started. There was a brief time, May 20th, I remember, and it was funny because I couldn't breathe. And the first thing that I thought is that, oh, no, I got COVID. Well, it turned out that I had a bacterial pneumonia. I came back to work after 3 weeks, so I'm happy about that. But that gave me a wake-up call. So when people sneeze or people have a cough, that's the first thing from a mental standpoint that we think, do we have COVID? So that's why it's mentally unsettling.
I'm sure. Sam Dancy works at a Westwood Village QFC in Seattle, a grocery store owned by the Kroger chain. Sam, good luck to you. Stay safe and let us know if and when you end up getting a vaccine, okay?
I sure will, okay? Thank you very much for taking the time to give me the opportunity to have this platform to speak out for those that don't have the opportunity to speak for themselves.
Sam, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And let's get some more context now. Richard Besser is former acting director at the CDC and president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which is an NPR funder. Doctor, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
And when you hear that story of a frontline worker like Sam Dancy, who doesn't have a shot yet, and yet is still going to work every day and is worried about it, what do you think?
I hear him. You know, I think that it's critically important that we recognize that while every community is being hit hard by this pandemic, the burden of this disease is not being felt equally. And those people who need to leave their homes every day to earn money to pay the rent, to make sure that everyone else has food on their table. We need to do all we can to protect them. And when you look at the recommendations that the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices gave to CDC, and you look at the recommendations that came out of the National Academy of Medicine, what they said was, after you provide vaccination for healthcare workers and those people in long-term care facilities, that next group after that should be those over 75 because of their great risk, and essential workers. That means people working in supermarkets and teachers and people driving buses. And one of the other reasons that they made that recommendation is that this pandemic is having a disparate impact on Black Americans, Latino Americans, Native Americans, and a disproportionate number of people of color are in jobs that put them at risk every single day, frontline workers.
So maybe this will be a slightly controversial question, but is there an argument that could be made that those frontline workers that you're talking about should actually have always been at the very front of the line, or at least higher in the line, because they are the ones who are going to work every day? And even elderly patients who would be at high risk for this disease at least could stay home, or many of them could stay home. I mean, these are people out literally on the front lines.
Yeah. No, you know, the second group that was recommended was over 75. And what we're seeing in many states across the country is that there was such a push to how many people are you vaccinating every day. Once that becomes the driving factor, then you leave behind those people who are harder to reach. And those are the people who are working all day. Those are the people who can't go to a clinic 9 to 5, may not be able to spend several hours a day looking for a place to get vaccinated, may not have access to broadband. And it takes a little bit more work to get the vaccine to people who are truly in need. You know, the inclusion of people over 75 isn't what's making it so inaccessible to people who are on the front lines. It's a failure to put in the resources to build the systems to meet people where they are. And that is a reflection of decades of underinvestment in our public health system. And it's a reflection on who in America we value and who we do not.
So, you know, I was going to ask you why you think it has taken so long to get to these workers. Is that the answer?
Yeah. You know, if you think about some of the challenges, vaccinating healthcare workers is one of the easiest groups because you can use healthcare facilities. You have people there who are trained to administer vaccines. Getting it out to community clinics is harder. Nursing homes, there again, you have a captive audience, and you can at the state level recognize where those nursing homes are and figure out how to get vaccines to them. But then it gets harder, and you think about, well, how do I reach people who work in supermarkets? How do I reach people who are driving buses? And you have to think, okay, we need different systems. We need mobile clinics. We need phone banks. What would it look like if in America we had a grassroots effort to get people vaccinated, to reach people, to address their concerns for people who have concerns, and we reached people where they were with vaccines? And when you think about the impact of this pandemic, you know, frontline workers, many are more likely to live in households that are multi-generational. There may be someone at home who's at greater risk. So I think that we need to make frontline workers a priority. While we've been able to see that schools can open very safely without vaccination, why not move teachers up in line so that teachers feel more secure in the classroom teaching, so that staff who are working in schools feel more secure and are more secure?
Well, and we have been speaking with both teachers and school superintendents who are starting the vaccination process right now. But that does bring up the issue of, I don't want to say slippery slope, but maybe, because there is a finite amount of vaccines that are available right now, and you could argue that some people are definitely classified as a frontline essential workers and others may not. So where does an Uber driver fit in, for example? Where does an electrical plant worker fit in, or even a reporter at a news organization who has to go out and speak to people outside of the home? Where do you draw the line on frontline workers?
Well, I think that it's really important that there's transparency and openness around the process. You know, I didn't see that when the decision was made to increase vaccination in so many states to people 65 and older. And what we've been seeing in report after report is people from wealthier neighborhoods coming in and taking up appointments in clinics that serve lower income communities. And that's not a fair and just system. When it comes to, well, what occupations should be considered frontline, again, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice, the CDC, has a list. These are just recommendations. I'm a doctor, I'm a pediatrician, but I'm not currently seeing patients. So I didn't get vaccinated along with healthcare providers. I'll get vaccinated when my group is called. You know, the miraculous thing is that 1 year into this pandemic, we have two currently approved vaccines that are going into people's arms. And hopefully within a period of 6 months, there'll be enough vaccine for everyone who wants it. But in the interim, we need a system that is fair and just. What we're seeing is a system that is anything but that, where the disparity by race in terms of vaccination is growing and growing. And there's a false narrative that it's because people of color don't want the vaccine. The vast majority of Black Americans, Latino Americans want to get vaccinated, and the systems aren't meeting their needs.
Richard Besser, president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and former acting director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Besser, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.